Good evening, folks. It's 7 o'clock on Monday, July the 1st, and it's time for our regularly scheduled City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order, and I kindly ask our City Clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Mike Bruno?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Dean Kilberg?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Tom Simonian?
Here.
John Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Here.
We have a full house this evening. We begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'd like to ask Mrs. Vogelsberg to please lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you.
Item 3A to this evening is to consider the mayor's appointments to the Historic Preservation Commission. I did have a request earlier this evening to separate these two nominations, and I would be happy to do so. So I would like to consider first Mrs. Jerry Schock Soderberg. Jerry is with us this evening, the young lady in the second row. Her application was forwarded to all of you yesterday morning. And it's my pleasure, based on my conversations with Jerry and her desire to serve, and her lifelong Geneva citizen. Holy moly, 20 years, that's amazing. It's my pleasure to nominate Jerry to the position that's currently available on the Historic Preservation Commission. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Marks, seconded by Mr. Cummings. A roll call vote is in order.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Congratulations, Jerry. Do you want to join us at the podium and introduce yourself to the thousands who are watching on TV? It's very exciting. And you live on that beautiful bucolic street with all the leaves in the
That's
fall.
That's correct.
Woodward.
Yes, Woodward Avenue. So we've been there about 6 years. And
holy
again,
moly.
I've been in Geneva for my whole life. So I'm currently working as a nurse, so at Good Samaritan Hospital in Downers Grove. So happy to be here.
Now, what's your specialty as a nurse?
Critical care.
Critical care. Well, you're in the right spot. This is perfect. How does Mr. Simonian look to you? Does he look healthy?
He looks fine.
Find me.
Well, we're delighted. So anything else we should know about you that you didn't submit on your application? So you're a Geneva grad.
I am, actually.
Wow.
2002.
Ooh, so. It's exciting.
Yes.
Wow. And how's the commute to Downers Grove and back?
Actually, it's about an hour each way.
Oh, you hop on 88?
I actually do not. I take Butterfield.
Oh, you do?
So it's quite interesting with all the construction, but we get there okay.
Oh, my. Good Lord. So you work unusual hours then, I suspect.
I do. I work 12-hour shifts, 7 to 7 a.m., and it's a long day, but it's only 3 days a week, so we get through.
Nice.
Are you
Very
off
nice.
On Tuesdays?
I can make that happen.
That's right. You'll have to be calling, Skyping in, for God's sake.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's awesome. Any comments or questions for Mrs. Soderberg?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I said this privately to her, but thank you for volunteering, and I'm sure you'll enjoy working with the Historic Preservation Commission.
Yeah, Chairman Roy's a good man, so you'll enjoy it very much. Guaranteed. They all are good people, so thank you again.
Thank you.
Very much.
Thank you.
Our second nominee is Mr. Zach Ploppert. All of you received Mr. Ploppert's application as well. I would entertain a motion to appoint Mr. Ploppert to the second vacancy on the Historic Preservation Commission.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Cummins, seconded by Alderman Vogelsberg. If there are any comments and or questions, I would kindly ask that those asking the questions and or making the comments direct their comments to the chair.
Mr.
Alderman
Mr.
Bruno.
Looking at, after receiving the information of the various candidates and having recently gone through the campaign, it seemed like this candidate rather came in with an agenda to to dilute the Historic Preservation Commission, which is an advisory board to the City Council. And there seems to be no shortage of other qualified candidates, so I'm a little concerned that with the stated public opinions that we've had from Mr. Ploppert that he was nominated here.
Anyone else?
I'll go.
Alderman Maladra?
when I saw your nomination of Mr. Ploppert, I had similar thoughts to Mr. Bruno. Zach did make some strong statements during the campaign, but then I also thought, in my own personal experience with the discussions about the South Geneva Historic District with people who live in the First Ward, I think that what Zach was vocalizing was a perspective that's held by a lot of people in Geneva, and I think that perspective can be and probably should be a part of the Historic Preservation Committee, and I don't know that it necessarily dilutes the committee. The committee operates within some strictly defined structures, right? The Department of Interior and things like that. So I don't see how his comments or anything, his position could thwart that or undermine it or anything else. It brings a unique perspective to the HPC, but it's a perspective that's held by many people in Geneva, and I think that makes it. So I thought along the same lines as you, but then I got to the end and turned one way instead of going the other way. I think I'll support it.
Alderman Bruno?
Well, I am a believer that facts moderate everyone, and there are strict guidelines that need to be followed. Secretary of Interior standards do have to be applied equally, residential, commercial. It just seemed odd to me out of the available candidates, particularly practicing architects, that we have a point of disagreement as to whether they should be on the Preservation Commission, but I think they are easily the most valuable people on there. But I just thought an individual, even though the facts may be and the guidelines would moderate any actions, to select a nominee that initially comes in with something of an agenda, and being an advisory body, it seems they should be preservationists. An advisory body, because they don't make the final decision. They can appeal to City Council. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? If I may, I would like to share with everyone, on the off chance you are not aware, I too served on the Historic Preservation Commission when it was, dare I say, a cluster. It was a loose body of individuals who had very little professional direction from staff at the time, and we tended to, not like today, but we tended to voice our concerns based on emotion as opposed to fact. And once we ratcheted up the professionalism of that Historic Preservation Commission, made it a formal body of the City Council, it improved extraordinarily so. Certainly under Dick Unch's leadership, certainly under Ms. Kulfus's leadership, and I'm certain it continues under Mr. Lambert's leadership. If you need to get that, Rick, go ahead. No problem. The fact is that the Historic Preservation Commission is currently populated by several very talented architects. We know that, one. But the strength, I believe, of Geneva has always been bringing in those different opinions and having them work together to find the best resolution. A preservationist, I think we're all preservationists. It depends on what degree we are preservationists, and that often, I believe, is the crux of a lot of the debates here at this body. We've only, and I think you've perhaps stated this as well, 98% of all cases that have been challenged by applicants at the HPC level have been sustained at the council level. So there is respect from this body to the workings of the Historic Preservation Commission. And it should not go unnoticed that we all come with an agenda, all of us. I have mine. I know all 10 of you have yours. But the process is that we try to work it out best for all the citizens. My litmus test, as I stated to all of you in an email, and I think this is worth writing, or excuse me, worth reading tonight for the benefit of those who care to hear it, I have selected Mr. Ploppert and Ms. Soderberg based on the only litmus test that I employ, which is best described as the applicant's desire to serve and their respect, love, and appreciation for Geneva. This same litmus test is employed with each and every board commission I have the privilege of populating through the nomination process, and to date, I believe, has served the city of Geneva well. Now, I have nothing but respect for Alderman Bruno. It could be construed that your statements in opposition, perhaps, to one of the nominees is in itself an agenda. But I believe that Mr. Ploppert's desire to serve, as has been proven through SPAC, as has been proven through countywide appointments that I've had the pleasure of nominating, and the fact that, hey, let's face it, folks, this is in essence a team of rivals appointment here. We were all at debate when certain things were said. But the fact is that the interest in Geneva, I think, far outweighs a deep-seated preservationist attitude or a deep-seated architectural background or a deep-seated, as our ordinance states, any other interest in or experience in certain areas. That's what I believe. So.
Thank you for.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Mr. Bruno and I did have some good conversations earlier today. I am not surprised by some of the questions, and I certainly appreciate them. So, very much so. Anyone else on the dais? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Nay.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Nay.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye. Motion passes with 8 affirmative votes and 2 nay votes. Mr. Ploppert, welcome aboard. Your colleague is right before you in 2 rows. And she's looking at you like, what the hell just happened, man? It's okay to sit next to him at the meetings, I assure you. It's all good. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
We move on to item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening?
I would like to remove 7A, excise tax, for maybe a 30-second conversation.
Absolutely. 7A is removed.
Removed from the
omnibus agenda, please.
Anyone else? Amendments to the agenda? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk, save for 7A, are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion, a second, and a vote.
So moved.
Alderman Brown makes the motion.
Second.
Ooh. Alderman Simonian makes the second. Gives it to the guy who looks healthy. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We jump down to item 7A, which has been removed from the consent agenda by Alderman Cummings. Alderman Cummings, the floor is yours.
I redid our family settlements the other day. jumped to a different plan on T-Mobile, and our bill went from $297 for 5 phones with data and texting and talking and everything a person would ever want to $140, all data, all the talking and texting and everything for all 5 phones. My worry when I saw the telecommunications excise tax was similar to motor vehicle fuel tax, in that if I can't be the only person doing this with the cell phones. If our cell phone bills are approaching
are all going to start going down, maybe 50% or 40% or something. The tax based on that, I think, is going to go down, and this is something, and we get $1 million a year from this. I think this is something we need to watch. And I think that this could happen faster than the decrease that we get from the motor vehicle fuel tax, because fuel efficiency isn't changing as quickly as the cost of cell service. And so I thought at some point that maybe it's a fixed fee that we start doing. I don't know.
Excuse me, please do.
This is something that we looked at about 5 years ago when the recession hit, and we looked at all of our local government distributive funds, and we started talking to the state because they are, as you know, in dire straits and looking for funding elsewhere, and they continue to look at our local government distributive funds, this being one of them. So we anticipated each year to those projections. We get some projections from the Illinois Municipal League, and then we look back historically at our trend information. But we're very conservative when it comes to projecting those numbers. You can see that they're all over the place too. But we do anticipate, we have anticipated, that this number will continue to decline. As with all the other local government distributive funds, we expect that the state will take those, or at least a portion of most of those, as time goes on. And this is something that I presented in the budget each year, saying that we need to look at revenue streams as well as the ones in place. We need to continue looking at our own fees. Obviously, no one wants to raise property taxes, but at least in the case of user fees, that's an area, you know, that the council needs to look at, because you're absolutely right. I agree with you. This is going to decline, not just this and MFT, but the income tax, the personal property replacement tax, which we're already seeing, the use tax. Those are all going to be declining, if not by a change in usership, then the state taking those revenue streams to balance their own budget. So either way, we've been very conservative. We continue to be conservative in our projections, knowing that this is probably going away along with the other revenue streams.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This topic 7A. I'll entertain a motion to approve as reported.
So moved.
Motion by Mark, seconded by Vogelsberg. The voice vote is sufficient. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. According to my scorecard, we move down to municipal bills for payment, and we kindly ask our city clerk to please present the total amount of bills for consideration this evening.
Bills for payment total $849,887.52.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices that add up to that total can be found on the city's website under tonight's city council packet.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion to pay the bills as read and available on the city's website and available in our packets this evening, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Worthy Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 13 is new business. Is there any new business from any member of the audience this evening?
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes, Mr. Bruno.
I would like to suggest that at our next fifth Monday that we entertain a discussion of the appointment process in terms of what information is public, so as to better inform the council members.
I'll take it under advisement. It would require, of course, wholesale change of city ordinance to do so, just to be aware. So
there would be public meetings or
The ordinance currently reads that the mayor makes the appointment. The advice and consent falls under the vote that is made by the council.
I have to get the details. I'm looking for some the various applicants' resumes being made available. It doesn't seem that there is a it's advise and consent. I'm not seeing I have an opportunity to do much advising.
You will not have an opportunity to do much advising. The advice and consent is a misunderstood term as it relates to the city of Geneva and most municipalities and most governments. Advice and consent, as you probably learned in Mrs. McKittrick's class, which I know you recently graduated from, is holdover language that's about 400 years old. The advice and consent that this council provides this mayor and this elected, or excuse me, and this community is in the votes you cast. If you vote no on a nomination, it's not voting no on the process, it's voting no on the person, period. If this city council wishes to change the ordinance so that every nomination made, 100 plus annually, has to go through a process of interview with the chair, review of all applications sent, conversations held, summary provided, debate held, then we best schedule 5 to 6 hours every Monday evening. It won't happen.
I don't think it would require that all of that be filtered to the...
Well, let me ask a pointed question. Is it only on one particular board that you're interested in?
No, I just, there's been two appointments, and I don't feel that I've had the opportunity to... I don't know what I'm voting on.
Well, as stated last time when we had the pleasure of appointing Mr. Simonian, the fact of the matter is, and I say this with great humility, it's about faith in the mayor's appointment, pure and simple, and faith in the process and the board that that nominee is going to be serving on.
Very good.
If there is dissatisfaction with the way boards are run, which there have been in the past, and Mr. Radovich has been involved in helping improve that process, as has professional staff, that's a whole different subject. But if it's a matter of every time a mayor makes an appointment, and because I didn't get enough information or I don't feel I have enough information to make a solid vote, then vote no. But I will not, under any circumstance, open this up to a process where absolutely nothing gets done because we can never reach consensus. I don't mean to sound like Putin, but that's the way it is. Yes, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. If I may follow up, I think one thing you did today, which was release to us the names of the other people that had applied, mm-hmm. is useful to the council to know. At least two of those people who you decided not to name are friends of mine, and they will talk to me and they will say things. And if this subject comes up, I would like to be able to personally say, well, you didn't get chosen. Thank you for applying. We appreciate that. And I'm sure there are other opportunities in the future, et cetera. It just helps to know the names, and I don't think it requires an ordinance change for you to do what you did today, which
was just to form
the council
to
of the people. And you typically have not done that in the past, and I thought today when you did that, I said, this is actually a useful thing for me to know because I run into these people and talk to them on a fairly regular basis, and I appreciate that. Thank you for releasing the names.
My pleasure. Oftentimes those names are released at the approval, if you will, of the applicants. Because sometimes some people will apply. It could be as simple as a phone call first saying, gee, what's this all about? In fact, I had a phone conversation with a woman not too long ago regarding a vacancy on another board and commission.
I don't think it even has to be made public at a meeting in open session. I think just the fact that we were notified means that if we enter into a conversation with one of these people,
sure.
we can be
each and every applicant
and we can
who
thank
not,
them. And
each and every applicant who is not chosen receives a letter from me.
I'm sure that's
them,
true.
And that's all. In the
but
process
as I
that
say,
Gene and I
sometimes
with,
you yeah. feel a little blindsided when one of them comes up and says, you know, I wasn't tapped for that post. And thanks for applying. There was a lot of good applicants. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Alderman Vogelsberg, then Flanagan.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to follow up on Alderman Brown said. I totally agree. I like getting the information of who put their name in their hat just so we know when we run into people. But I have always felt like you make the big bucks, so you should make the decision. Because just what Chuck said, when somebody says, hey, I applied for this, I like being able to say, it's not my decision. I mean, You know, because that's part of the responsibility and the power of the job, and so I like having the names, but it's nice to have one person be the decision maker.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I too concede to your judgment call, but I did like the way you put the information in the packet. I really, really appreciate that type of information, because as Chuck Brown or Alderman Brown mentioned, is that, you know, it's nice to know who we either passed over or whatever the case may be. But I kind of disagree with Alderman Vogelsberg, because we vote on it. So even though the mayor appoints and recommends, we still end up voting for it. If we didn't vote on it and it wouldn't pass, that person would have been nominated. So I feel that there's some information that, or would we?
No, that's absolutely true. In
terms okay,
of the,
so,
the overall spirit of separation of right. powers, your advice and consent is, in fact, the vote you cast.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. So that's
but
what I'm trying
on
to refer.
Just on that one person. Oh,
just
I'm
on that
sorry
one.
To interrupt.
Right.
Just
yeah.
on that one person.
Yeah.
You
but
don't
moving,
get to say I want this
No,
person.
No, I'm not saying sorry. That we sit there and make a judgment call. I think the mayor has the right to do that. I just like to be able to see those candidates who were part of that information.
You know, moving forward, I'm going to ask that on the application form for all board and commissions, there be a disclaimer that states,
oh,
by
that
submitting
we can...
this application, your name will become public.
Right.
If you choose to withdraw prior to that time.
I think that's an excellent.
So then everyone knows.
That's an excellent item. So.
By the way, Jerry, your name's going to become public. So.
Mr. Mayor, would it be? We received this information about 24 hours ago. Mm-hmm. Is it conceivable, many of these names we've had for quite some time, is it conceivable to get them a week ahead of time?
No, probably not, because it requires my schedule to be open to have conversations with the applicants, and I cannot in public promise that you'll receive it a week ahead of time.
Well, there could be.
And number one. Number two, you had a conversation with Jerry.
Well, that's because I finally found out who it was.
But you had that conversation prior to this evening.
Yeah, well.
That could be, in my humble opinion, those conversations should be held after the nomination is made official. Because otherwise, you're quizzing a nominee prior to your vote, try to securing information based on your own predilections and or desires. I think we get in trouble that way, myself. The challenge I have, and Jerry, you returned the phone call pretty quickly. That was awesome. But sometimes I have a hard time getting a hold of people. There's no question about it. And some people see the City of Geneva phone and think, I ain't answering that. So it's difficult to do so. I cannot guarantee a week in advance. I can't do it.
Well, you know, neighboring communities, just names are submitted and they show up in the paper.
That's the neighboring community's choice. I believe that choice is... well, put it this way, it's not my choice.
Could I jump in?
Sure.
So I think the question of getting all the material in advance, you start skirting the matter of, are you involved in the interview process? All we're being asked to do is say yay or nay to a person who's been nominated by the mayor. It's the same process that we had with Mayor Coughlin, Mayor Dakota, probably going back beyond, I don't even know the names of all the mayors before, but it was probably the exact same process then. We are not part of the interview process. So if we get enough information prior to the meeting to let us get a feel for whether or not the mayor is totally off his rocker, I consider that to be sufficient. When we start asking for the resumes and everything else weeks in advance so that we can go do some field work, now we're inserting ourselves in an interview process, and that's not our place. That's not what we do, unless we change, you know, have a discussion the fifth Monday and vote to change the way we do it. Yeah.
That is certainly, pardon me, that's certainly not my intent to, it's just getting the information. If I'd seen all of the applications, I'd probably been happy. But there's value too in just the names being out there publicly. You know, so and so. If we are looking at, if we are concerned about appearance of impropriety or, you know, if people said, oh, well, this person knows this person, and there's some pattern in the types of people, I'm certainly not making any accusations. I'm just seeing this opportunity of it looking too opaque to the public. You know, by having the names publicly out there, just, you know, Jerry, Zach have put their names out there, and Colin and the rest of them. We, you know, our constituents would relate information to us. Oh, yeah, I know this person. They're stand-up people. Or.
But the opposite end of that coin is, oh, I know that guy. What an ass. Why is that beneficial?
Well, if he really is an ass.
But that's one person's opinion.
Well, that's, and we're all here to judge everyone's input. We get lots of phone calls. I'd rather have.
Okay, let me ask you an insensitive question. Actually, it's not insensitive. It's a probing question, and perhaps a little bit direct. You contacted Mrs. Soderbergh. Did you contact Mr. Plopper?
Well, we'd already had.
But that wasn't my question.
Oh, not today, no.
So you interviewed Mrs. Soderbergh over the phone in order to reach your own satisfaction, but you chose not to contact Mr. Plopper because you assume you know everything about him already.
I did not speak to Ms. Soderbergh until moments before the meeting.
By phone?
No, here.
Okay,
no.
Here left. Okay, got it. But again, the assumption...
It was before the gavel, though.
Okay. Were there questions asked specifically about... And I'm just curious, really, about her purview on historic preservation or anything like that?
If she appreciated, if she likes the historic downtown.
But who would say no? Who would say no to that question? That's like saying, do you like puppies? I mean, my God. Well, we all do. You know. See, that's what worries me, Alderman Bruno, because, and I respect, I mean, you're an intelligent guy. There's no question about that. We differ, but I think we differ subtly on something. I never asked Jerry or Zach, do you like the historic downtown? My question was, as written, do you love your community? Good enough for me. Get involved. You wrote in your own blog. You wrote in your own blog, Mike. When you were appointed 11 years ago to the Historic Preservation Commission, you knew, quote, nothing. I was simply a do-it-yourself fixer-up guy. But when I got involved, I was able to lean on the professional staff like Mr. Unch and others. I was able to be briefed on the Secretary of the Interior standards, and I was able to become informed as to what my role really is. Jerry and Zach are being provided that same opportunity. My God. I applied for the Plan Commission back in whatever year it was. Mayor Oddly said, I got an opportunity on the Historic Preservation Commission. I thought, what the hell is that? I said, yeah, I just want to get involved. I'll do it. It was a different world back then. It was a different world back then. We debated for 2 hours whether the courthouse was made out of brick. That's how brutal those days were. Anyone, I don't care what their opinions are regarding foreign currency. I don't care what they are regarding Snowden. Do you want to serve your community? Come serve. Because I'll guarantee you, the more different opinions we have, the less groupthink we have. And this body is a perfect example of that. We are all passionate individuals who have very strong feelings about things. But I do believe, and if I haven't said this enough, forgive me, that we're all doing this for the right reasons. And I believe Zach's doing it for the right reasons. I believe Jerry's doing it for the right reasons. You and I had a great phone conversation over the weekend. Well, that sounds interesting. That sounds funny. I don't know. Hold on. But I... been in Geneva all my life. I love Geneva. Done. That's where I come from. There seems to be a discrepancy with respect to this oh-so-popular word transparency and this, well, why the hell does the mayor get all the responsibility of appointing people? That's the gig, man.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kilburg.
I guess... I would have one suggestion, and I see here that one application was received on April 15th and the other on May 18th. I guess it would be helpful if these nominees were brought forward to the Committee of the Whole. This would give us a week then for the community to be aware of who these nominees are, and that if there's anyone that would have a serious issue or multiple residents of the community that would have a serious issue with a suggested nominee, the community to have an opportunity to air their thoughts. And again, it's your decision. I'm just saying, though, I think we're always better with more information than less information. And Mr. Simonian's nomination was given to the council the Friday before Monday night, and this was given to us Sunday afternoon before Monday night. And I think Mr. Bruno makes a valid point that I think that if it takes another week, in other words, you make a decision, if it takes another week to fill those positions, I don't see that as breaking the bank, and that it's something that I think the council would probably be willing to do, to be aware of who it is, and also the opportunity for the community if there's any feedback. The press wasn't aware who these nominees were before tonight.
That's by design. The press is never aware of those nominees before tonight.
Okay.
Because we've had in the past, we've had stories written about nominees.
Well, let me finish, Mayor.
Prior to the nomination.
Then you can comment. I'm just saying, I think that it'd be lend itself more to the process, and I think it'd be productive. And I think that, at least in my case, I'd feel a little bit better. That, not that I have to offer a comment or an opinion on these people, but at least the community to have an opportunity to offer a comment or an opinion to you, Mayor, and that in helping you make a more in-depth decision as it relates to who these people should be to fill these positions. That's all I've got to say.
Well, my decisions are in-depth, as all of you probably know. I would strongly oppose a nomination process, as Mr. Kilberg has suggested, whereby the nominee comes before a committee of the whole meeting, is debated in public, and those who might oppose this nominee, for whatever reason, has the chance to cross-examine that nominee in public. My sense is that the spigot of volunteerism would dry up pretty damn quickly. I mean, I don't care if it's the mental health board, I don't care if it's an appointment to a council member, or excuse me, the council, if it's the Economic Development Commission, if it's the Plan Commission. My fear is that we turn this into a quasi-congressional type hearing, and our first question is, are you or have you ever been a member of Batavia? I mean, you know, what the, it's like, it's ridiculous. Don't use that, Brenda, by the way. But it's like, you know, the fact of the matter is we've got hundreds of people in this community who raise their hands saying, I want to get involved. And we say, great, come join the board. But first, stand before this podium. There could be a room full of people who say, you know what, I met that nurse. Man, she is not pleasant. Her front yard's a cesspool, and she's going to tell me what to do in historic preservation. Personally, opening up the process like that is foolish. So, you vote no on the nominee. It's not no on the process, despite how many times you want to tell yourself that. You vote yes on the nominee, and you grant that opportunity to that person to prove themselves in an appointed role. I spoke to the chairman, Chairman Roy. He and I have corresponded regarding this very evening. I've spoken to Mr. Runch. I've spoken to all the professionals. I don't make the decision in a vacuum. I discuss with a number of people. But I will not politicize the appointment process. There's too many good people in this community that want to volunteer. And damn it, you have a right to volunteer. And as long as I'm mayor, you will all volunteer, regardless of some of the, sadly, politicization of the nomination process. Mr. Simonian?
I believe there's a simple solution here. I think Mr. Bruno should run for mayor. And then he can take it all over and,
there you go.
And manage the whole process himself.
That is politicizing, isn't it? Now you're going to be arrested, for God's sake. Anyone else from the dais or from the audience, for that matter? Alderman Vogelsberg?
Well, thank you, Mayor. Just speaking for the person in the process, which I don't know the experience it's been for you two, but I agree. To me, when you ask to be appointed to a position, it is like a volunteer thing. Not everyone, myself included, would just wake up and think, I'm going to run for office. You want to volunteer, see what you're good at, what, if you have anything to offer, and then run. So I think that it would, we would lose some people if it was, I would never want it to be public. If I was just volunteering and I didn't get chosen, I wouldn't want everyone in my neighborhood to know that I didn't get it. So I just think part of this, not the secretness, but part of the way the process is, you send your application, it's through the website, and you get called and interviewed or not interviewed, and then you find out, but you don't know if you were up against 100 people, which is what I tell myself whenever I don't get something, or if you were up against one other person. So that's what I like. I think you get more volunteers to come out and stand up to volunteer when you respect their impact a little bit. And anything running for office or where they have this final word, then that's the vetting process. But I think when you're an advisory board, then you should just get to volunteer, and if you don't make it, you don't make it.
Mr. Singer.
Thank you. May I ask you a personal question regarding the choices that you make?
Sure.
In this respect, do you in some way inform those who were not selected as to the reasons why they were not selected?
Well, the general response has been, and most people actually say this prior to me getting the words out of my mouth, I assume there are a lot of great candidates, and there are. The most difficult position I have as mayor is choosing nominees over someone else. And I share this with kindergartners when I talk to them. It's like having a sleepover. And mommy says you can have 5 kids, but I got 7 friends. Choose 5. It's like, oh, that stinks. Mm-hmm. And I share with them, thank you again for your interest. We have chosen another candidate. I do not share that candidate's name who's going to be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, thank you very much. May I keep your application on file? And if you see the files downstairs dating back to 2001 of all those who have appointed or applied for different positions, they're all still there. And sometimes I'll rifle through. In fact, I did this just a few weeks ago regarding a vacancy on another board. By the way, you're still interested? Not. Can't. Sorry. Job conflict. Great. Move on. But never have I said, oh, hell, I've got an appointment to make. I better choose somebody quickly. I'll confer with Mary. I'll confer with the chairman of the board. And in fact, every application to the Historic Preservation Commission that was forwarded to me for review was forwarded to Mr. Unch, was forwarded to Mr. Lambert, and forwarded to Chairman Roy. Everyone. So, to some extent, I wish these boards and commissions were bigger because you can involve more people, but I understand why they're limited. Mm-hmm. I do. So, right. Those are the worst phone calls to make. And those who are not appointed to the council, I made those personal phone calls myself, and they're not fun to make. So,
thank you for that explanation, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anyone else? We do have an item to discuss in closed session.
Was it on that issue? I have other.
Oh, another. Yeah. I'm sorry. New business. Forgive me. My fault.
I just didn't want to make sure that it was new business or some other item that you were wanting to
carry. I was pulling a Simonian there and just having no discussion.
It worked for me.
Since we're talking about policy, or since we're talking about items to be put on a policy, I don't know what the normal way to put an item on the agenda. Can I just say
yeah,
verbally?
Yeah.
Okay. I know that Alderman Singer and Alderman Maladra were also concerned about this, and so I asked at one time if I could ask to have this item put on. It's regarding absentee landlord owners, et cetera, and is there anything we can do other than home rule? I know I understand home rule, but is there something that we could do as a non-home rule community, we can have a little bit more tighter control or requests or something for them to keep up their property? That's what I'm looking for that, and I did ask.
Since the sad answer might be no, but I don't. Whatever's in the statute.
Yeah, and there's not a whole lot there. Do you have a suggestion as to what you want us to do?
Well, maybe there would be something as a volunteer to the mayor's discussion about volunteering. Maybe we could somehow get these owners to volunteer to attend a class or attend some sort of information session regarding what the city would like to see in their property, even though other owner property owners understand what their responsibility is. Maybe the people who are absentee don't really realize it because they're not here. I don't know. That would be one of my suggestions, is somehow to get them to cooperate with us. But I don't know exactly how to do that without any teeth, you know.
And I'm not aware of any authority that we have to force them to do
nothing
more than what we're doing already. To ask them to volunteer to take a class, we can do that. Or to attend a presentation, we can do that. I predict that we'll get zero interest in it, but we can do it. I mean, we can certainly, you know, provide some kind of session or workshop and see what happens. But I think that our code enforcement officer goes, in my opinion, above and beyond when it comes to contacting,
totally
and following
agreed.
Up and hand-holding and explaining and answering questions. And most of the time for the landlords that you're referring to, the absentee landlords, they don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be found, and it takes a lot of his time just to track them down and to get them then to respond. So, again, I'm more than happy to pursue it.
And the statutes don't, I mean, we have to really dig for those type of people. They can't, if they,
well, we've got,
I guess I don't understand the process that much, you know what I'm saying? So
we can send them a letter. We typically don't have phone numbers, but we can send a letter. The newer ones, we may have an email address. Most of them we don't. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, we don't get responses from them. Unless it gets to the adjudication and violation process. But just a matter of communicating and discussing what we would like to see. No, they really don't show a lot of interest in that regard. But again, if you want us to look into designing some type of presentation for them and a packet of information, we can do that.
If I could just add something. Mr. Forney knows all of the statutory provisions that allow for property enforcement, property maintenance enforcement. So, and as far as I know, he's employing those.
Yes.
And there's nothing that outside of what we're doing currently that we can do to have compliance on some of these properties that they seem to say, oh, gee, they're, yeah.
In, yeah, within the four corners of the law? No.
No. Well, it was worth a try because I wanted to try to see if there's something that we could do, or we sit down and talk about it and come up with an idea for something or other. But okay.
Alderman Kilbert.
Are there measures that other communities have taken as it relates to their ordinances to tighten this up? I mean, obviously, we're living in a different time and place as it relates to foreclosures. I'm aware of a few municipalities that have tightened their ordinances as it relates to this specific area. Have we looked at ordinances and efforts to give our staff more jurisdiction, more authority to take some of these measures that Dorothy's entertaining?
There are some state statutes that have been modified to discuss properties that are in foreclosure process, and Mr. Forney's aware of those, and as I understand it.
Do our ordinances give him the authority?
I think that they're self-executing in some respects. They don't need to have an ordinance to have them operate.
And in addition, I would say that our language is broad enough that we've interpreted those changes in statutory law that it applies to us without having to change our language. So those provisions, as far as foreclosure, those are being employed by Mr. Forney already.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you. As a segue to this confirmation, I was just made aware that we do have the means to see that the maintenance of lawns are within a structure through our sense of our ordinances. However, I just was alerted that there was a constituent who had said in regards to the shrubbery outgrowth along the pathways of one's walking in and out of the areas as to why doesn't the city, in a sense, remove or cut the shoveway back so people have access in and out of the areas. We don't, we are not allowed to do that. The city does not have control over the shrubbery areas. It's just the lawns and the maintenance of the lawns. Am I correct in that assumption?
It depends. If it's an obstruction on city right-of-way, then yes, we do have the ability to trim that back as it protrudes into the public way.
Okay, but if it's on private property, you can't do anything with it.
If it impedes the line of sight at a corner, then yes, we do have that right also. But those are very specific specs that we have to adhere to. We have to make sure that the line of sight triangle, that we're looking at those dimensions, or that we have to stay within the public right of way. So it depends, Alderman.
Okay.
Well, public ways, period. I mean.
Well, one of the other concerns I have is Alderman Flagon and I have gone out and maintain some of the local properties in our ward areas. And my concerns are that if we're out there and we're injured in some way, where's the liability here? Or if we ask for volunteers to engage themselves in doing these kinds of things, there's a liability involved. Am I not correct in that?
My suggestion is that for each particular instance that you come across that you question, just send it to me or any of the other appropriate staff, and we'll take a look at it.
Okay.
You know, so then there's not a concern about the liability. You know, that's what we do. That's why we're here. So just refer it to us, and one of us will make sure that the appropriate staff person gets out there to see whether or not it's something that the city can do. And even in those cases where we don't have the authority to do the trimming, we've had communications oftentimes with the property owner asking them if they would help us out by taking care of the situation.
Okay.
So a lot of times it works well that way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Regarding property that falls into disrepair, I'm in the Geneva Rotary Club, and we got notice from Dick a couple years ago about a property that had fallen into disrepair. And the people that lived there just didn't have, they couldn't repair it themselves. Either physically it was too demanding or financially it was too demanding. And I think that there are a number of service groups out there that are willing to help if they're made aware of it. And that might be a nice alternative to ordinance enforcement. You know, going and checking on the people and seeing if there's a way to maybe fix the problem rather than writing them a ticket.
Dorothy.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to kind of talk about what Alderman Singer was talking about. Actually, it's a house that's in foreclosure. And as we know, the foreclosure process is lacking when it comes to keeping up the property. And that's another kind of dovetailing on the absentee landlord, because in my thinking, they're absentee landlords. But these foreclosure the property that we were talking about, actually the shrubs and the bushes just kind of overgrow the entrance to the house. And so I don't know if it's really causing any type of site problem, but it is causing what neighbors consider as blight. It's not really blight in our, you know, how we interpret blight, but it is what they consider blight because they're taking care of their properties. So that's the reason why I wanted to see if there was some other way that we can, you know, either tighten up our ordinances or do something that would help the other residents who are having to actually abide by the law and they're doing the right thing, and yet they have to face the neighbor or the foreclosure property that isn't being taken care of. And I know that Mr. Formey is doing a great job. He's, you know, he's put all these properties on his radar screen, but there's processes that we know he has to go through, and it takes a while, and everybody becomes impatient during that taking a while to get this property resolved, so.
I would just say, I think that maybe we're talking about a couple of different things. Number one, when you're talking about within the law, we have certain codes that we have to follow. If grass is 6 inches tall, it's within the law. You know, if it's over 8 inches, it's not within the law. So we have to follow our own laws that we set. So if bushes are untidy, we don't have any control over that. We don't, you know, have a review board to say this, your landscaping is good, yours is not. With regard to responsibility for the upkeep, when it encroaches on violating our laws, what Alderman Kilburg referred to with the new laws changing, the state statutes, the banks are now responsible. When it's in foreclosure like that, the banks are now responsible for that upkeep. When it's violating our laws, or it's a matter of you know, the health, safety, and welfare of the public, if it goes into those kind of issues. So in that regard, that's what I was referring to. Mr. Forney is using the new statutory provisions to work with the banks in these foreclosures. We didn't have that ability before.
Okay, so there's something that's moving ahead.
But it's not a matter, it can't just be a matter of one neighbor saying this looks terrible and the next neighbor saying it's fine with me. It has to be a code violation, you know.
Yeah, so I understand how the process goes. It's just the idea that it's very difficult to have these pieces of property being out there, and yet, you know, we get contacted quite frequently, you know, even though we keep trying to tell everybody, all the neighbors and constituents, that, you know, we're, staff is looking at it, they're paying attention to the property, they know when it, you know, that the item is needs to be repaired, or et cetera, but still, you know, those are the issues that we still have coming to us. So, you know, in order for, instead of always trying to talk about it, I thought if we could talk about it, we could maybe come up with something that would be somewhat workable, or if we tightened up our ordinances, we could maybe avoid some of these situations. But
well, I would encourage any of the aldermen, if you have any ideas as to what we can do within the law as a non-home rule community, we're happy to employ it. Like I said, as these new state statutes have been revised, we are utilizing those, and we are working with the banks, and that has helped. But we still have constraints.
Okay, thank you.
So to that, pardon me.
Oh, sure, go ahead.
To that point of what we are able to do, so we've got limits on, you know, grass height. So shrubbery overgrowing sidewalks, are there specifications so by so much we can go in there and cut that back? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Only public sidewalks.
Public sidewalks.
Dorothy, Alderman Flanagan was referring to a private sidewalk, which we have no ordinances that
right.
cover that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyone else on the dais? New business? Again, from the audience, anyone? I'll entertain a motion to go into closed session to discuss pending litigation.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bruno, seconded by Marks. A roll call vote is in order.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Mike Bruno?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Michael Flanagan?
Aye.
Dean Kilburg?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Tom Simonian?
Aye.
Don Singer?
No.
Aye.
No action being taken tonight.